Well, The Merchant of Venice has opened at Sydney Theatre Company. Well, not Sydney Theatre Company, Bell Shakespeare, at the Sydney Opera House. And it's a gorgeous, clear, well-directed production. And so pleased to have a chat with the director, Anne-Louise Sachs, about the play. Now, you might have heard of her in Jasper Jones, 17, Electra Orista, Nora, Medea, A Christmas Carol, and other things. Welcome to Stages, Anne-Louise.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So this is a great production. Can you just give the listeners a little plot outline before we start?
That's such a tricky one, isn't it?
It
there's
is.
There's so much going on in this play.
It's terrific,
That was definitely
yes.
one of the things that we wrestled with in the making, but let me do my best.
Okay.
Essentially, you've got the Merchant of Venice. His name is Antonio. A good friend of his, Bassanio, needs to borrow some money, and Antonio's sort of money's caught up in a whole lot of other things. And he says to him that if you go and find some credit elsewhere in Venice, I will kind of lend you that money.
Mm.
I will be the bond. And so that sort of kicks the whole play into motion, and that takes both of those men to the door of Shylock, who is kind of, I think, the most well-known character of this play, and they make this deal for a pound of flesh. That's sort of the dramatic, I guess, plot line of the play. And then you've got the comic storyline, which is that Bassanio wants some money because he's actually in love with a woman called Portia, and he's off to woo her. So those two plot lines sort of run side by side, a sort of romantic comedy plot line and this far more kind of dramatic plot line about this legal story about the pound of flesh and the deal between Antonio and Shylock.
And Portia being such a strong woman, outwitting men, and such a great role. So that sort of story, has been left with these three gold, silver, and lead caskets. And it's such a great comic kind of side to it, but also it can be seen like it's probably part of a racist sort of commentary. How did you deal with that? Because, you know, the first man turns up from Morocco and, you know, tries to chooses one of the caskets. Did you find it difficult in the text and ways to make it humorous and play with it? Because it's so much fun and really terrific scenes.
Thank you. It was really complicated, is the truth, because it's written as a comedy, and the men who come to sort of play this casket game, and Bassanio is the third, and obviously wins in the end, they're meant to be ridiculous.
Right.
But because the play was written in sort of 1596, we think, there's a whole lot of attitudes underneath sort of that ridicule about race, about colour, about other cultures. And so for us, what was tricky was to sort of make the men ridiculous, but not actually be buying into those questions of race. And to actually, instead of just avoiding them, which a lot of productions do, just sort of cutting the line, actually to leave it there and give the audience just a moment at the end to think about the fact that Portia has this intense bias. You know, this internalized racism about Morocco. And I think also for us that connected really nicely to what she does quite horribly to Shylock at the end of the play.
Mm.
So the two storylines meet in the courtroom, and Portia's there sort of dressed up as a man and no one recognizes her, and that's sort of all part of the fun. But then when the Christians, they defeat Shylock, when they sort of win that case, They go further than just having that case thrown out. They actually decide to punish Shylock in quite an extreme way. And so they rob him of his faith. They tell him that he has to be baptized a Christian, and they take all of his money. And, you know, Portia's sort of very much a sort of part of that twist. And there are a lot of questions for us as a company about how does a woman who in many ways is oppressed herself, who is sort of a prize to be won in this casket game, in this comic plotline.
Yes.
How does she end up going so far in this sort of tragic plotline? They were very complex questions, but I'm really proud of sort of where we ended up, I guess, and the fact that we can ask an audience to sort of engage with those questions with us.
They're very complex. Like Shylock is, you know, hated, yet he's complex, and you feel affiliation to him, and so you're swinging bias or your allegiance is it like all through it. I find the religion, the division, Yeah, and Portia turning up, does she know, does she already have that prepared? This is one question I was like, does she already have the loophole to ensnare Shylock, or like, you know, is it ones that she, is that clear in the play, or is it something that she really knows?
Yeah, that's a great question. And lots of actors choose to play that really differently.
You can choose either way, can you? Yeah, okay.
You can. I think the text can be interpreted anyway. But she sort of discovers in the moment another solution. We definitely think she comes in with a certain amount of legal knowledge to sort of play with.
Yeah.
She gives him his chance to sort of, in that, you know, beautiful quality of Mercy speech, to sort of call it all off. She gives Shylock that opportunity, but she's not actually necessarily going to follow this through to the final moments of Antonio being sort of cut apart in that room. But yeah, many productions play it very, very differently. And for us, it was about finding the thing that kind of was most interesting in the moment is the truth, and sort of allowed us to kind of, you know, find a really exciting theatrical moment as much as anything else in that courtroom.
When you first decided to do this, or was engaged to bring it to stage, where did you start? Like, what's the first thing that you do as a director, apart from read it? what decisions wise?
It comes from the reading, it comes from that first, I guess, your first response. I think as a director, you have to really trust your sort of first instinct through the play. And what really struck me, you know, when Bell offered me the play and asked me to look at it again, was how dark it was. It was that it actually, the ending was really troubling, and it wasn't a sort of satisfying victory, and I didn't particularly like those Christian characters. And I thought, well, if that's something that I can sort of carry through in this production rather than sort of soften it or deny the sort of darkness inside the play and the sort of prejudice inside the play, then that's something sort of worth putting on stage right now. That actually does have something to say to us. And really started to, I guess, think about how the comedy heightens that too, because I think when you're laughing and you're enjoying yourself, it's actually much easier as an audience to go to that deeper, darker place as well, rather than sort of just being hit over the head by something quite political. So they were my sort of first instincts. And we just kind of, I spent a lot of time working with Benedict Hardy, who's a long-term collaborator of mine, and he was the dramaturg on the show. And we just kept shaping the text. So there's actually a lot of edits have been done to the script. Characters have been removed. You know, I was looking for, I think, in some ways, the most distilled version, but also a very clear version, because it's really important to me that everyone can come and enjoy the play.
Absolutely
sort of people who love Shakespeare, and also someone who's never experienced Shakespeare before.
The way that they're performing it, it's so clear, just in their physicality, meshed with the words. It's just a lovely production to watch, and very, very enjoyable. And it is the kind of complex religion swings between Judaism and Christianity, and like you say, the races. I wonder whether, it's getting a bit loud there, but I wonder whether you added any thing when it comes to the end and Jessica, the daughter of Shylock, and the shame that she feels at the end, is that...
That's added.
Okay. Because I thought, but it's beautiful. It really gets you in, you know, a way that you wouldn't get without it. And I think it's really the point of the play, I think, is the all shame, is it? I don't know. Like, you know.
I don't know that was the original point of the play, but certainly for us it felt really important to kind of explore that character of Jessica a little bit more. And actually she kind of became, for me, a really important sort of symbol of the dilemmas that we're all in. We all have our own faiths, and actually where is the sort of greyness in between the sort of black and white extremes? And, you know, she abandons her father and she leaves her Jewish faith. But she's trying to become a Christian, and then she also looks at all of those Christians around her and the way that they've treated her father, and I think she's asking herself a lot of questions. So we took a line from Troilus and Cressida, and use that for Jessica at the end of the play, because we actually tried a few times to do it without any text, and it just felt like it wasn't a kind of strong enough gesture, I suppose. And you know, just for the sort of train spotters at home, Lorenzo and Jessica have this scene at the beginning of Act 5 where they talk about Troilus and Cressida. So I guess it felt to me like you know, it was a bit cheeky, right, to be kind of making up our own things. But I felt like it absolutely made sense.
Well, it illuminated something, I think, and it really kind of references back to Shylock's big, you know, hath not a Jew eyes, not a Jew hands, organs. We, you know, feel the same pains and the same diseases and those. And interestingly, not interestingly, but when you go to a play, and especially a Shakespeare, you go, why am I watching this? And it's so clear and you're enjoying it. But then when that Shylock monologue or speech hits you, it's so, you know, timeless for our world.
Yeah, it is,
so,
isn't it? It's quite incredible. I mean, that speech it's extraordinary, and the sort of insight that Shakespeare had to write that,
terrific,
you know,
all
those years ago. Certainly that was a lot of the inspiration for me, was taking that and building on that idea to sort of make this resonate even more for us now.
Yeah, and it sure does. Oh, and Louise Starks, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really, really wonderful production. Thank you. And Louise Sachs, the director there of The Merchant of Venice, playing at the Opera House at the moment. And I really do recommend, get along and see it if you can in any way. Go.
Australia's legendary.